And welcome to today's session here of the Business at 2 on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. And this is where we begin with all items business heading up to 2:30. First off, we start with our first item on today's platform. And we take a look at the sponsorship coming through for the Windhoek Cycle Classic here in the capital. Plans for this year of 2022 after the 2-year absence because of the COVID-19 pandemic. And part of this, the Windhoek Rotary Club has organized this event annually for 23 years. And all the proceeds go directly to Athletes Development Association of Namibia, a charity that ensures talented athletes get the equipment and training they need to get to the next level. The Cycle Classic is co-sponsored by the Paratus Group, who is investing a lot of resources into this event to make sure that it is a quality sporting weekend for cyclists and families from across Southern Africa to enjoy as much of the cycling as they can. And in that same vein, the Cycle Classic takes place on the 8th to the 9th of October. For more, let's have a listen to Windhoek Rotary Club's Pierre Duploy, who speaks to Business at 2 of Eagle FM here.
Pierre, thank you once again for joining me, and let's just get to the basics in terms of what is the Cycle Classic and what it aims to provide.
So the Paratus Namibian Cycle Classic, the Cycle Classic was firstly introduced into Namibia in the year of 1999. So we were very fortunate, even in COVID, we were able to have events. So since the year 1999, we've had Cycle Classic in Namibia non-stop. This year, we're very fortunate again to have Paratus Namibia and the Namibian as our anchor sponsors for the event. And without them, events like this is not possible.
Exactly. And then just having a look at some of the, you know, how important is cycling? I mean, I know I'm going to venture off a little bit into the health component, Pierre, but if people want to know why cycling is becoming one of the most popular sports out there, can you just provide some of those benefits that the sport also provides?
Cycling is a family sport. One doesn't need to be competitive. For example, this year we've introduced a 15-kilometer road race. This road race is specifically placed there for families, for a father and a mother with their little kids, 5-6 years old, doing a family event. And sometimes I think people look at cycling and think it's only competitive. No, it's there for health. It's an extremely vulnerable part of our society. It brings a lot of people together. It brings a lot of communities together. And yes, you don't need to be always competitive to be part of cycling. As a matter of fact, we actually found that about 95% of people who cycle for the enjoyment of it and the social part of cycling.
Exactly. And then, Pierre, just having a look at the, you know, just what can some of the participants look forward to if they take one of the routes? I mean, has it already been decided, the, you know, how it will look like, the activity and so far, before I ask about the interest levels that might have been indicated?
Yes, we can. So we're very fortunate in cycling in Namibia that we have a company, IJG Stockbrokers. They are doing a tremendous work for us, IJG Stockbrokers, in Windhoek by developing off-road tracks in and around Windhoek where people can drive a cycle safely. They place security there. They do a lot of development for tracks, new tracks, and all of that makes it very, very important for us as cycling to grow as the cycling community in Namibia. Yes, so all our mountain biking, which will take place on Saturday the 8th of October, will happen on the IJG trails here in Windhoek. Then on the Sunday we will be having a road race, which is basically all of it is flat. It's, we call it in and out, or out and back rather, which will be on the Western Bypass. We have Windhoek City Police assisting us there, making sure it's safe for everybody. And all of this actually then accumulates to having an awesome weekend for cycling in Namibia.
And then just on the last part, if you can perhaps add in a PA in terms of Windhoek Rotary Club, in terms of their how they feature in all this, what is one of the main roles that the Rotary Club also add in this?
It is very important. Thank you for that. Windhoek Rotary is all about community service. all the funding being raised by this, the sponsorships by Paratus Namibia, the Namibian, the entry fees, almost all of that goes directly back into serving the community. Mm. We're involved as Windhoek Rotary Club. We're involved in a lot of projects around, in and around Windhoek. We're, for example, part of a project called Healthy Body, Healthy Mind, where we are going to rural schools around Windhoek, and we are assisting them in identifying new sporting codes for the communities out there, something that actually suits and fits them that they can grow in.
Mm.
We're part of that. We're part of food gardens in and around Windhoek. We are supporting schools in educating, helping, uplifting the standards of education in the schools, providing electronic equipment to schools. And that's where Paratus Namibia actually comes in as well, where they are assisting us in providing good service and internet service out there for these places where we place all these computers and laptops and whatever needed to improve that. But so, very important, I think people should know out there, whatever they buy a ticket for in this event, almost 99% of that funds go to back to the community, to developing sport, to assisting athletes who have the ability to go to the 28th Olympics, making sure that they have the means to actually get there, assisting them with training programs. We're involved in a lot of things, but it's all about uplifting the community. We are not taking 1 cent, not anybody person helping from Windhoek Rotary in this event. We don't take 1 cent. We don't take half a cent for fuel even. Everything comes out of our own pockets, but it all goes back to enormously great projects that uplift the community out there that needs it.
Exactly. And then just ending on the last note, in terms of just some extra information, Pierre, in terms of the aspect of when the cyclists or interested people or family members can register for, can you just share some of those details before I let you go?
Thank you very much. Yeah, so very important, the event is on the 8th and the 9th of October. Since the year 99, it's always been the second weekend in October. People can go to web tickets and go and enter the. There's a lot of different options here that people can choose. We've made it as less expensive as possible, so we've created group packages where people could actually do two events for less than doing individual events. Go to web tickets and go and have a look there, look at the entries. If they need anything else, they will find my email address there. They can contact me. We will help them. So on Saturday, the 8th of October, will be the mountain bike race. We will have it, which will be on IJG Trails. We have a Kiddies Classic, which is basically for the youngsters up to about 8 years old, doing loops in a very, very safe environment from 8 o'clock till 10 o'clock, different starts for them. Then on Sunday, we have 9th October, we have the road race, which consists out of 100 kilometers, which is a really competitive one, to 60 kilometers, 25 kilometers for those who really want to venture into the first time ever into a cycling event, and then the 15 kilometers, which is there for people who cannot do the 25 even, and more specifically for those families out there with youngsters that want to introduce their kids to cycling. That will be happening on Sunday, the 9th of October.
The Namibia Investment Promotion and Development Board recently finalized the deployment of 5 investment and export promotion attaches to strategically selected markets around the world. These attaches and their placements follow the development of the Foreign Representation Framework, which provides the guiding principles for foreign representation deployment and enables the board to implement results-driven investment promotions, attraction, and facilitation. The 5 attaches will assume a regional market representation responsibility and play an oversight role for locally recruited staff and other stakeholders in other countries in their regions to maximize the utilization of limited resources. The attaches will assume their duties on September 1, 2022, and they will represent the NIPDB in the following regions: Sub-Saharan Africa in Pretoria, Middle East and North Africa in Cairo, Europe in London, Asia Pacific in Beijing, and the Americas in New York. Speaking to Eagle FM's The Business at 2, François van Schalkwyk from the NIPDB, Executive Director of Investment and New Ventures, highlights some of the importance in terms of the key roles that these attaches will predominantly be looking at, and also what some of the attractions might be for investors to look at when having to do business with Namibia. We have a listen.
I get 100% right.
All right. Francois, just having a look at the attachés that will be sort of like extending the marketability of Namibia, because we have to look at it in terms of, you know, advertising Namibia as a as an investment hub or as a place for bringing in various kinds of if I can put it in simple terms, business to our country. You know, how extensively, and also what might the period be for these attachés?
Thank you, guys. Yes, so really the remit for the attachés will focus around direct attraction activities. And what we mean by that really is that the team in Windhoek will develop a call it a target list of potential investors. Of course, I'm sure listeners will appreciate that the NIBDB has basically taken this past year to look at the you know, what was done before, what our competitors are doing, what our neighbours are doing, and in particular, you know, where the sweet spots or where the areas lie where we are more competitive than others. And so, so considering those factors, we will be compiling lists or a target set of companies, but also other institutions for these attachés to target. So, and really the reason behind that is we don't want to send our people to their various stations and to feel kind of unsupported. I think it's very important that this team is well supported from home, but also at the same time be provided that commercial intelligence in order for them to do their job well. I think we're quite lucky in the sense that these five individuals are all very experienced operators in this space. They've worked in investment promotion before, and of course this year at the NIBDB they really at home, and I think they've got their feet proper under the table, so definitely you know, really to take us out there. I think so in terms of awareness or advertising and marketing, as you call it, yes, so we the NIBDB does play a role in that. We of course work with our colleagues both at the NTB but also across other spheres of government and the private sector to market Namibia out, you know, to the outside world. And of course, yes, one of our key objectives really is to make Namibia known as an investment destination of note, and also in particular a place where, you know, if you are a foreign investor or international investor, where your money will be safe. And so I think so to that extent, we certainly are definitely one or two steps ahead of many of our competitors in the region in that respect. But of course, when you consider the wider remit of the NIBDB, yes, it is not an easy task, and I'm pretty sure you know, everyone will be going through some stressful times in the coming months.
Yeah.
But we're very confident, and in particular, we've been working very well with the missions where these individuals will be stationed. Yes, and of course, you know, we're very thankful for the support of the heads of missions there. But I think broadly, yes, it's a, like I said, it's a dynamic but a very focused attempt, and so to a certain extent we try to take away a lot of the guesswork and you know, the market research and the market intelligence that's been gathered over time, and also the model we've developed around that will certainly help us lead this team to be able to achieve quite well. So yes, we're very excited, and I think we are very proud of the team going out there.
And then Francois, just before we end, I just wanted to ask, in terms of providing the bonus, the bonus information, let's work with bonus information, but sort of like the information regarding Namibia itself, does it make it easier for investors in other countries to see this extension actually being sort of like a ease of access or an easy accessible point in terms of information about Namibia? Because if we had to look, anyone had to look up, you know, it's always just sometimes people don't know what Namibia looks like or even what Namibia features like in Southern Africa. Has that always been some of the issues or problems that you guys at NIPDB would have noticed, or is this just, you know, let's strengthen the message of Namibia out there?
But certainly, I think when you kind of survey the environment we operate in, we're clearly relying on various partners, like I said earlier, across government and the private sector.
Yeah.
And so, and to this extent, Margaret Gustavo, my colleague in our strategy and branding department, Margaret is also co-leading a project on country branding, and we're working with the Ministry of Information on that.
Yeah.
So yes, there is definitely attempts being made to consolidate this work and these work streams, but certainly, like you say, to have a united or a consolidated message at least. But yes, and also create platforms which makes maybe easy to find, if that makes sense.
Yes, yes.
I think so. There is fragmentation, really, especially in the tourism sector, but also across the business and the investment sector. And I think the posting of our colleagues to the various investment offices, globally, will make a difference. But certainly, we'll have to all work together. And I think so. When we consider the work the Namibia Tourism Board does, the ETB does, the Ministry of Tourism does, or MFT, but certainly also colleagues in other areas, it is about really, government taking hands, and we all be partners. And I think so. We see increasing cooperation really across governments, and that's really positive, I think, from our perspective. But like you said, there'll be a national branding campaign.
Yeah.
Probably, if not later this year, early next year, and NIPDB is also a partner in that program. So there is definitely an attempt to kind of consolidate that view.
All right. And then just in terms of the last question, Francois, are there just going to be key industries that the attachés will have to sort of like, you know, the strongest of our industries that are the easiest for investors to invest in, or will it be sort of like Namibia is the whole of Namibia is, and all its industries, whether it be small or big, are the various kinds of investment spots that investors will look at when the attachés have to make contact with investors?
That's a very important question. You know, I think what we have been doing is we of course look where there's a lot of activity going on already,
mm.
and where there's a lot of interest already. And yes, so those low hanging fruits are very, very kind of important to harvest, especially in our current economic situation.
Mm.
So we want to get that FDI in country, and we want to create jobs. I think that's the key purpose of a lot of what we do.
Mm.
But at the same time, government has been working with a number of research partners and amongst other the Harvard Growth Lab, and that work really kind of highlighted certain areas to us where, with relative little efforts and little input, we could grow new sectors. And I think so that is a secondary focus for us. And of course, we're working with all ministries and all agencies across government to really realize that, and of course with the private sector.
Mm.
And so to a certain extent, so it's a combination of leveraging what we're good at already, but also at the same time, taking the opportunity to have, we have the stage now, so let's leverage that and really build new opportunities and diversify our economy.
Exactly. So, Francois, I'd like to thank you for taking the time. If there's still something you wanted to add that I might not have asked, or that you are, that you still want to add in, you can still do so.
Thank you, Dwight. No, I think, maybe to reiterate what I said earlier, I think we're very, very excited about this team that's being in place abroad. Of course, we're always thankful for support across government, but also the feedback we have from the public in terms of that, and generally, if there are ideas or even investment opportunities that you feel that you need some support from, the NIPDB is, this is why we're there. So.
Now that brings us to the end of that report there, but currently happening at the Ongodiva Annual Trade Fair, Egalif M is also present there. And on the line, we have one of our colleagues that are present there. Andreas, how are you doing and how is it going right there?
No, I'm good. I'm doing good, Dwight. How is it going there?
Oh, everything's all right. Andreas, just give us an update in terms of what does the excitement level looks like in terms of also visitor numbers? And, you know, what are the key attractions that you and the team would have observed there?
All right. As you said, I'm here at Trade Fair Ongodiva, and it's quite full. Like, the company showed up in quite big number of capacity because the yesterday statistics were like the company that participated yesterday was around plus minus 305. So I don't know about the exact numbers. So we are here at Eagle FM. Eagle FM also took place, and we actually have some quite numbers of companies under Eagle FM, like Mona Tracking Assets. Last night I was just on air with Uncle Fly's show. So any customers that want to come and book with us or maybe see what Mona Tracking Asset is, you guys are welcome to come through. For as long as you see Eagle FM style, you can just come here. We are here waiting for you. Yeah, there are a lot of companies like NTC. They are also here for those who want to. I can see people renewing their numbers. They are also register my number. So there are a lot of companies, and we are here waiting for their clients.
Exactly, exactly. Andreas, also just have a look at what are the day's attractions going to happen there at the Ongodiva Annual Trade Fair. What's going to happen is, what's the program looking like in terms of cultural events? Will there be performances? Will there be big name presentations by celebrities or artists perhaps? What can visitors look out for?
Yeah, it looks like it. It does look like it. I've seen some quite numbers of the artists here. I have seen that Tatebuti was here. And I've seen people kind of preparing for the stage. They're going to do performances. There's a lot of tourists. I have seen a lot of Germany guys who are here at our stall, telling us that they have heard about Eagle FM before. So, yeah, all the companies are here.
Exactly, exactly. And then just to indicate to our listeners, Andreas, where can they find Eagle FM's, the way you guys are currently based at the Ongodiva Trade Fair? Just give some directions in terms of what they can do, what they can look out for when they interact with you and the team.
Yeah, Eagle FM is actually situated on the entrance on the left. We are opposite Indongo Toyota, Indongo Fold, and on our right there is, of course, MTC, and also the Fish Consumptions stall.
Exactly.
Once you see Indongo Toyota, Indongo Fold, or MTC, of course, you're going to see Eagle FM.
Exactly, exactly. Andreas, thank you for giving us that update. And just to let the listeners know, they can always just make a turn there with you and the team and then just share some discussions and also make a visit there with our team.
All right, Dwight.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for coming through.
Bye.
Now, as we reach the end of today's, or not at the end, where we still have like 5 minutes left, we head into the, what is customary, our regular economic indicators updates coming from the rest of the world as also the rest of the trading bursts. Starting off with some economic indicators as well as also some currency moves and commodity moves on the international bursts as well as also all short forms of business news. The first of our updates comes from the U.S. energy giant Chevron that is eyeing a Namibia oil block acquisition. Now, the United States energy giant Chevron Corporation, just known just trading as Chevron, is set to acquire a majority stake in a highly coveted ultra-deepwater block offshore Namibia, just north of Total Energy's huge Venus discovery. The transaction will mark Chevron's first entry into Southern Africa since its aborted foray into South Africa's nascent onshore shale gas play some years ago. The California headquartered player, whose revenues have surged to $215 billion for the past 12 months, ending at 30 June 2022, currently has its African portfolio centered on Angolan assets offshore Cabinda. The upcoming deal, according to the internet and online platform Upstream, covers Block 2813B, directly north of the multi-billion barrel Venus discovery. This block is operated by Australian junior Harmattan Energy following Tula Oil's exit from the acreage just weeks before the results from the Venus 1 Wildcat and Shell's Graph 1 probe were unveiled. Harmattan holds a 37% stake in the block, while Trago Energy, controlled by Namibian businessman Knowledge Kati, on 52.94% and state-owned Namcor holding 10%. However, information published earlier this year by Toronto-listed Sintana Energy shows that Harmattan has 37% stake in the block, with Grisham Assets Corporation on 33%, Inter Oil on 20% and Namcor on 10%. Now, this is as Sintana had indicated that the block is covered by 2,400 line kilometers of 2D seismic data and more than 7,900 square kilometers of 3D data, while water depths range from 2,300 to 3,100 meters. On the other hand, Harmattan is controlled by the Havoc Partners, which is led by Extractive Industries veteran and Africa specialist Alan Stein. Meanwhile, Sintana and its partners have secured an extension for an exploration license for Petroleum Exploration License PEL 83 from the Ministry of Mines and Energy. PEL 83 sits directly above Block 29-13A, where Shell PLC made its Graph 1 light oil discovery, and directly to the west of Kudu gas field currently being delivered by BW Energy. The block is also contiguous to Block 29-13B, where Total Energies made its Venus 1 discovery. Sintana also has a carry interest in the blocks 28-13A and 28-14B, which are operated through PEL 83, and indirect interests in the adjacent blocks operated through PEL 90 and PEL 87. The increased interest in Namibia exploration activities comes after Namcor and its partners Shell Namibia Upstream BV and Qatar Energy are said to have discovered a working petroleum system for light oil in the Orange Basin, 270 kilometers from the town of Ranyamund, where drilling operations commenced in early December 2021 and were safely completed in early February 2022. The company's other partners, Total Energies alongside Qatar Energy and Impact Oil and Gas, have also announced the Venus 1X discovery, located approximately 290 kilometers off the coast of Namibia in the Deepwater Offshore Exploration Block 29-13B, which covers approximately 8,215 square kilometers. In other economics and also business news, the NSX overall, starting off with the trading platforms, the NSX overall ended its day's trading session on a very good note with a 3.34% teach change, while the NSX local ended off on a similar positive note on a positive 0.17% for its day's trading. Heading into the other bursars, as well as also stopping firstly off with the JSE All Share, which ended on a positive 0.76%, while the JSE Top 40 was higher on 0.96% in its positive rounds for its day's trading. The industrials sector in South Africa was up by positive 1.03%. Financials were up by 3.34%. Resources were higher on positive 0.86%. And gold miners moved higher on positive 1.39%. Heading into the international bursas and their trading platforms, where in the early days trading on the Shanghai Composite, it had gained 0.09%, the Hang Seng had risen by 0.7%, and the Nikkei 225 rose by 0.65%. The Dow Jones in the US had risen by 0.98%, the NASDAQ rose by 1.67%, and the S&P 500 had gained 1.41%. While heading to the European bursas, the Stock 600 was up by 0.3%, while the German DAX was up by 0.39%, while the French CAC was lower on a negative 0.08%. The FTSE 100 in the UK concluded its day's trading session up by 0.1% in terms of its day's trading. Heading into some of the commodity prices, as well as also some of the currency exchange rates, starting off with spot gold in the commodities, where spot gold saw a dip in terms of recording a negative 0.14% for its day's trading, while platinum beat the buck by staying positive with a positive 0.17%. Palladium also came down with 0.2, with a minus 0.29%. Silver also maintained a level of positivity with a positive 0.13%. Uranium still maintained its neutral data indications by recording a negative move and just by staying on a 0% move, while Brent crude indicated the biggest move for the past few days with a 0.8% in its moves. For iron ore, a 1.12% move indicated its positive trends, while copper also recorded a similar rate, but with a 1.30% in terms of its gains for the day. Natural gas also recorded a 1.92%, also almost achieving a 2% increase. And that indicates towards the positivity on what the week will end on. Heading into some of the currency exchange rates, with the United States dollar up, or with the Namibian dollar facing off against the major currencies, with the US dollar towards the Namibian dollar, where you will get 16.7 Namibian dollars for one US dollar. The Namibian dollar to the euro, you will get 16.72 Namibian dollars for one euro. And the Namibian dollar to the British pound, you will get 19.8 Namibian dollars for one British pound. For the major currencies against the United States dollar, for one euro, you will get 0.9 cents US dollar. While for one British pound, you will get one US dollar and 18 cents. For one Australian dollar, you will get 69 US cents for one Australian dollar. Bringing us up to the end of the economic indicators and also the commodity prices.
Now, as we just head off in terms of, or just end off on today's program here of the Business at 2, you can catch me later on tonight here on the Business and Economic Zone, as we will address some of the key discussion points before we sign off for the rest of this week. I mean, you can't go back to a week, but nonetheless, catch me later on tonight at 6:30. Alternatively, also stay tuned here on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM.